19. So the Psalms only goes up to 176. So we only have a few more of these left, and we're excited about getting to the next one, but I'm excited about these last four or five weeks that we have in this too. I really enjoyed learning and studying out Psalms 119, 145 through 152. Each of the Psalms sections have some type of major theme, and this one is about prayer. And that's one thing that I know, for me, that's something I can always work on. It's my prayer life. I need to do better at that. And I think most people would say that. That's one thing that they wish they were better at, closer to God when it comes to their prayer life. And we get a picture a little bit of David and his prayer life here, or at least the author. And we've told you before, we believe that's David. And when we look at this psalm, it just opens up some thoughts and just gives us a heart for the psalmist here and how he prayed. And I don't know about you, I would love to have been around when Jesus prayed, that's for sure. I would love to have been around to hear Jesus talk. I would love to have been there to hear Jesus pray in the different ways he prays. Remember, when Jesus prayed, the disciples saw and heard and said, hey, teach us to pray. We hear you pray. Teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And there's a lot of different people in the Bible that I would have loved to have met, loved to hear them talk. I don't know about you, but David, you know, he's called a man after God's own heart. I would love to sat down and listen to David talk about the Bible. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was able to pen these words in pretty much every single verse, but maybe one or two referred to the Word of God, referred to how much they loved the Word of God, and I just would have loved to hear him talk. I love hearing sometimes people talk about prayer and how God's worked in their heart and how God's answered prayer. Is just a wonderful encouragement and blessing. And having this passage of Scripture here, it just, like I said, it helped me open up my eyes and my heart to some different things, and I think it's going to be a help to you tonight. So let's jump right in. We're going to go ahead and read through the whole passage and then take it one verse at a time and just kind of navigate our way through. Some nights we don't have points, but tonight each verse is going to kind of have a point if you'd like to take your notes and follow along. Psalms 119, verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hope in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us tonight. I know you've already helped me in this passage, and Lord, I pray you give me the words to say. Lord, help me be your mouthpiece tonight to be able to be a help and blessing, not only once again an encouragement to my own heart, but also to the people that are here listening, that's physically here, and those that are watching via live stream, and those that may hear the message later on. Lord, I pray it helps our prayer lives, that we get a hunger and a thirst. If we say we believe in your word, it means that we're going to pray. If we say we believe that you're going to do the things that we pray, Lord, we'd be on our knees probably even more. Help us increase our faith when it comes to our prayer life tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first verse, 145, it says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. So the first thing you think about is he cried with his whole heart, and he asked God to hear him. Now, you think about this. If God knows your heart, and when you're praying in vain or you're just kind of living in sin and your prayers are not with your whole heart, he says he's not going to hear you. I mean, would you be listening to somebody intently if you know that their heart wasn't in it and they were just sitting there and talking and talking? We don't know a man's heart either. But you consider this. You're praying to the Almighty God who knows your heart. Now, don't get me wrong. In one sense, God hears every sound that is made on the earth, and he knows every desire of every heart. But David's not talking about God just hearing us. Sometimes we like to talk just so that way somebody hears us. David is saying, I want you to listen to me, Lord. I want you to come close. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying.
When we pray, we're not just hoping that we just say some random ritual and we just say the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes I see that. I see that probably in other religions, or I see people get out there saying the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is great. I have a sermon series that I might preach during the Lord's Prayer because it's so great. And I know I've preached on the verses in one sermon before, and I love the Lord's Prayer. But when people just go out there randomly, just start saying words and their heart isn't into it, it's just vain words. It is the word of God, but if they're not really saying it for a reason, they're saying it just to be heard. That's not what we ask God. When we say, God, will you please hear me? We're asking him that he will come and he will listen. David desires a kind, sympathetic hearing. I mean, when we ask God to save our relatives, we don't want God just to hear, hey, God, save our relatives. We want him to listen. We want him to move. It's sort of like when you're talking to a physician. And I know that sometimes I hear horror stories about doctors. And I understand that. And I hear people say, doctors just don't listen to me. I'll sit there and talk, and I'm not going to change their mind. They're going to do what they want anyway. And that would drive us crazy. I have a doctor that listens to me. I don't always agree with him, but he listens to me. And we talk about what we're going to do or not going to do, all these different things. But that's what we want when we go to a doctor. We want them to sit and listen to the needs that we have. And then based off the needs that we have, we are interested in them prescribing to us what is going to help us. Now, God being almighty, God already knows our hearts. God already knows our thoughts. God already knows why we're praying. He doesn't need us to tell him what we need him to do. What we need to do is be able to bring these things before God, and then God reveal unto us what he wants us to do. But our hearts have to be ready for that. We can't be doing in vain words. David is crying out to the Lord. He's asking him to draw near. He's asking for him to listen with a friendly ear. He's hoping that God will help him. He's not going to God and just talking so that way I can say I talked. And so many times that's what our prayer lives are. At the end of the service, we always have a prayer time. We make it 5 to 7 minutes. And yes, it could be a lot longer. It could be shorter. Whatever. But sometimes people just talk to talk. They really aren't really interested in connecting with God and having God. The God of the universe is going to listen to us. He's going to be near us. He's hearing our hearts and our desires. If you have a friend that you go to and you have such a great need and you say, hey, I want you to listen to me. You don't want them just to listen so that way they can hear words. You want them to listen so that way they can instruct. They can do whatever it is that needs to happen, but you want them to hear the words that are being said. God here is, David's crying out to the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, I need you to hear me. And he says, I cried with my whole heart, and this is what he's crying, hear me. He wants God to hear him. The second part of this I want you to think about is he uses his whole heart. It's not a piece of it. It's not a corner of it. Think about it. If you were God, you made the heart, you made yourself available, and you have opened yourself up and says, hey, cast all your care upon me, and you go to him with a piece of your heart, and you begin to speak to him only a piece of it. When he already knows your heart, he knows what you love, he knows what you're interested in, he knows what you're going to do after you ask for forgiveness. He knows whether or not you ever plan on going back to that. He knows what's in your mind, and you're coming to him and saying, God, here, you can have a corner of my heart. How would you respond? And that's what David's saying here. He says, I'm crying unto you, Lord, with my whole heart, because I want you to hear me. And sometimes I think that we think that God should be just satisfied with a portion of our heart. I think sometimes we think, as long as we get down and we spend a certain amount of time and we do our prayer time, God must be pleased with me. But God doesn't want to just hear us talk just to talk. He wants to have a relationship with us. He desires that. Prayer without heart is nothing more than just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I don't think God was ever satisfied with a sacrifice in the Old Testament that was not done from the heart. I mean, why did he have the sacrifices? It wasn't just there to kill some more sheep. Let's cut up another ox. He did it as a symbol. And he talked about how he was disgusted by the symbols of the person that continue on, did it and did it and did it for how many years, but their heart wasn't in it, and their heart wasn't in it, and their heart wasn't in it. And when we come to our prayer time and prayer life, I know it's different than our sacrifice, but God wasn't happy with a sacrifice that didn't have their heart involved in it. And sometimes I know we're like the disciples and we say, I don't know how to pray. Teach me how to pray because I want to pray. I want to know. Well, here's the beginning thing. Do it with your whole heart. Don't just keep a portion of it back. Say, I'm praying unto you with my whole heart, and I really want you to hear what I'm saying. I don't want to just talk the talk. I don't want to just do some feigned prayer to say, so I can tell my friends, my family, I prayed about it. I'm praying unto you with my whole heart because I want you to hear me. And look at the last part of this. He says, I want you to hear me so you'll do what I want you to do. He doesn't say that. I want you to hear me so you'll fix the person I'm praying about. He doesn't say that. He says, I want my heart to be clear. He says, so I will keep thy statutes. God's not looking for eloquency in our prayers. God doesn't time how long they are. And don't get me wrong, I know we talked about that hour with God, and I think that's a wonderful program. And sometime we might even look at that again. He's not really interested in your tone of voice. And some people got some great voices. You hear some guys go to prayer, and they got this deep voice, and they sound like they should be on the radio. And praise the Lord for somebody who has a great voice. But God's not interested in our voice. Now, once again, if you have a deep voice, you shouldn't try to make it, you know, don't be foolish about it. Use your voice. But he's not interested in that. He's not interested in how poetic you can make your prayer sound. God's looking at your heart. And if the heart be dumb, God certainly will be deaf. If the heart is not speaking and is just your mouth, God's not going to hear it. Because he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, I'm not going to hear you. So the psalmist is opening it up and he's saying, look, I'm crying out to you with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. And I want to do this so I can keep your statutes. He could not expect the Lord to hear him if he did not hear from the Lord. He could not expect God to hear and answer his prayers if we are not hearing and answering what God has asked us to do. I think sometimes we switch that around and we think, well, God's got to listen to me. God's made me promises in his word. And how can we say we want God to tell God what to do? And I know we've said it before. Prayer is not getting our will done up in heaven. Prayer is getting God's will done here in this world. And we should learn, hey, I'm coming to you because I want to keep your statutes. I'm coming to you because I want to be right. I'm coming to you because I need you and I want you to hear me. I want you to show me. I want you to direct me. I want you to lead me because I want to keep your statutes. You see the second verse. And this is nothing new. Psalms 23, 26, Proverbs 23, 26, the man writes, my son, give me thine heart. And just as a man who cries the loudest will use his whole mouth when it's opened, a person who is praying most effectually will pray with his whole heart, not just some of it, not just the part they want God to see, the part they want God to bless. It's all of it. Look what it says in verse 146. He says it again. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy commandments. Now, saying it again, he's crying again. He's praying to God, obviously. We see who he's praying to. We see if he's saying it twice, it seems like he's doing it vehemently. It seems like he's doing it often. It seems like he's doing it in passion. But you see what he does. He says, save me. It's very short, but it's very full. Nothing wrong with long prayers. Nothing wrong with short prayers. He says, save me. He understood something. He understood he needed saving. He understood that there was some things in this world that only God could do, and he's going to him, and he says, Lord, save me. He says, save me from what? David, wasn't he a believer already? There are so many things we need God's help for in saving us. You know, save us from the dangers that are around us. Save us from the enemies that are pursuing us. Save us from the temptations that often beset us. Save us from the sin that accuses us. Save us from the wiles of the devil. He did not multiply his words. He just said, save me. He says, there are some things in this world that I cannot handle, God, and I need your help. I think we all agree with that. But do we say that? Do we say that in a way, in a form that we believe with our whole heart, God, I cannot handle this. God, you need to show me. And the same thing. Look what he says. Why he wants to do it. Save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. So he keeps God's commandments. This was the great object in his desiring salvation. He wasn't saying, Lord, save me so I will never go to hell. And I think sometimes people want to use salvation as a get-out-of-hell-free card, and I understand that, and that's why we preach about hell sometimes. But if you truly see God for who he is and yourself as a sinner, you're going to be convicted of that sin, and you're going to ask him to save you, not just because you don't want to spend eternity in hell. Nobody wants that, but you're going to ask him to save you because he's God, and you want to live for him, and you want to do what's right, and there's salvation. There's a changed life that's there. He's God. And so here you see this. He says, will you save me from these problems? And the reason why I want you to save me from these problems is so that I can be obedient. He says that I shall keep thy testimonies. If you will help me and you will save me, I am going to keep your testimonies. And that reminds me of what is that we really want in life. Why do we want God to answer our prayers? Are we really looking for revival, or are we just looking for relief? Are we really truly saying, God, save me from where in the situation that I'm in right now because I want to serve you in a greater way? Are we saying, Lord, save me from the problems I'm having because it's really bothering me? It's starting to tick me off. I'm starting to not do this and that. It's really messing with me. The psalmist is saying here, and he's pulling back his prayer life. He says, look, I'm crying out to God. I'm doing it with my whole heart. I want to keep his statutes. I need his help to save me so I can be obedient. We're not asking God to help us out of a mess so we can just go into another mess. Sometimes I think that's how people pray. God, if you'll just fix this. And we know that as soon as he fixes it, I'm going to go back to doing the same thing. That's the not praying with your whole heart thing. That's the, if your heart is not speaking, then God is not listening. Look at the next verse. It continues on. He talks about crying again. He says in verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried, I hoped in thy word. Now, he's saying he is getting up before the sun. And I know that's, some people are like, that's just crazy. I remember going to Mount Moriah Christian Camp one year, and you're there, and at camp, you're really seeking God, and you're searching for revival. You really want God to work in your hearts, and there's all these young guys, and I'm probably, you know, in my early 30s there, and I'm a new assistant pastor, youth pastor, and there's this older guy there, probably in his mid-60s to early 70s. He'd been a youth pastor for 40 or 50 years. And he was there, and he had these things he was giving out to younger assistant pastors or youth pastors about things he learned over the 40 years. And then he also asked the guys, hey, look, at 4:30 in the morning, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to pray for the services. If any of you guys want to join me, yeah, please do. And, you know, he was an older guy, and most of the other guys are younger. And as soon as he walked away, you know, some of those guys just kind of chuckled. I ain't getting up at 4:30 in the morning. He says, God hears us at 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. He said, it's camp week. And he said, why in the world would somebody get up that early? And here's the thing. He got up that early because he believed his prayers were going to make a difference. If we would grab a hold of the fact that God's prayer is really the omnipotence he gives us. He says he'll do whatever, you know, within his will, he'll fill. As long as our will is his will, he's going to answer our prayers. And so what that man had learned over the years was, and I think this is what the psalmist learns, that if I'm praying, that means God is listening, and that means God is going to be able to work. And if I believe that, then who cares what time it is? I want to be praying all the time. And he was up before the sun. He began pleading with God before the dew even began to leave the grass. Whatever is worth doing speedily. It's found right here in the word. He says, I prevented the dawning in the morning, and I cried, I hoped in thy word. The reason why the psalmist would get up before dawn is because he hoped in God's word. He knew what God's word had said, and it became something that was part of him. And he says, you know what? Prayer does make a difference. Prayer does change things. And so even before my morning begins, I'm going to get up, even before the sun gets up, because God will hear and God will answer my prayers. And the reason why I'm praying, and I'm praying continually, I'm praying early morning, you see the next verses, I'm praying late at night, is because I truly believe that God can do something if I pray. So why don't we pray earlier? Our hope isn't always found in his word. Now, sometimes we'll work really hard and get really excited about things, and we'll pray earnestly about certain things. But do we pray earnestly about most things? Because we hope it will make a difference? Think about it. If we truly believe that God is the only hope and that prayers is the way we discuss and we lay our burdens down, what would be the best thing in your life? First thing, get up out of bed. This is what I need. I need to get a hold of God. He is my hope. He is what I trust in. And that's what he's saying. He said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and I cried. Once again, he's crying out three times. He says, I hoped in thy word. Those that make a business of prayer will use great vigilance and diligence. It looks as if it is a duty. If it looks like it's a duty, something you have to do, your heart's not going to be in it. But if your heart's in it, it will be an early work. It will be a late work. It will be a morning thing. It will be a noon thing. It's the business of keeping communion with God. His desires will not let you sleep because you really think you can make a difference by praying a little bit more. It's getting to that point of saying, I believe and trust God, and he communicates me with prayer. So I'm going to keep on praying because I want to grow closer and closer and closer because I hope in his word, and I hope that it's going to make a difference. And we're not talking about some hope so salvation. We're talking about a hope that's invested in the word of God and the promises that God's word has. And because I believe in it, that's going to make me want to pray more. Men will break their sleeps and give themselves to prayer and calling upon the name of the Lord when they truly believe it's going to make a difference. They will stay up late. They will get up early when they truly hope in his word. So when we hope in ourselves, we don't pray as much. So when we hope in and other things, we don't seek him like we should. Psalms 119:62, it says, at midnight I rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. So we're going to look here in the morning. It talks about the night watches next. He's talking about praying all the time. You're like, why in the world would a guy do this? It's because he hoped in God's word. That's what his hope was. That's what he desired. That's the only thing he could do. And so often that's not what we believe is the only thing we can do. We believe we can fix things. We believe we can handle things. We believe that we need God's help with the big stuff, but don't worry about the little stuff. But David, a man after God's own heart, the giant slayer, the king that did so many wonderful things, the guy who killed the lion, killed the bear, he says, I've come to this realization that my only hope is by getting a hold of God. And that's why I don't care how early it is. I don't care how late it is. I just need to get a hold of him. You think about Jesus, God's own son. It talks about him getting up before the day. Is it because he needed it? No, he wanted to commune with God. It talks about him praying throughout the night. Early prayers are many times undisturbed. Early prayers are times when you get to spend time alone and no one else is bothering you. I can imagine even as king, David had people waiting on him. And I'm sure all the time there were people there and around him. And there would be hustle and bustle all the time and needing spare moments. He made it a point. I'm sure he lived a busy life. He was undisturbed. He had the desire of communion with heaven. He would raise from his slumber. He would shake off his sloth. It would carry him to his knees. Why would he be praying if he did not hope in God's word? Why would he be talking about the morning time and the midnight and the evening hours? If it simply is found in this, it's because he hopes in his word. And if we do not pray like we should, if we boil it all the way down, it's because we don't believe in God's word like we could and like we should. Because that's the thing that unlocks heaven, is this prayer. Let's jump to the next verse. So he goes and he says, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. He longed as he prayed. He begins in his prayer before dawn. He continues in his prayer throughout the day, even in the evening. He said he stayed awake at night just to meditate on God's word. He preferred study more than slumber. He learned to forgo necessary sleep for a much more necessary devotion. He rises early and stays up late. And he's saying, the reason why I'm staying up late is because I'm meditating on the word of God. Because this is his hope. You ever been so excited you couldn't go to sleep about something? As you get older, it's probably more, have you ever been so worried about something that you can't get to sleep? I know sometimes when it's camp week with teenagers and you got to get up at 4 in the morning, you try to go to bed early so that way, but your mind's going 10,000 miles. You set more than one alarm because you want to make sure that you don't miss it. And it's just what's on your mind is, that have we done this? Have we done this? I wonder if so-and-so is going to be there on time. I wonder, there's so much things you just can't shut your mind down because you're considering all this. Or even maybe you think about Christmas and the next day and kids and they're there and they're wondering about stuff. Hopefully they're not thinking about Santa Claus. Hopefully they're thinking about, you know, what all the wonderful things of Christ. But I know that they're excited about the things they're getting the next day and they can't shut their minds down yet. Go to bed. No, I can't. Go to bed. I want to drink water. No, go. Their minds stayed on something. There's something that's keeping them asleep because they're excited about it. The psalmist is saying, that's what I think about God's word. And if God speaks your heart through his word, it is something that will just keep on mulling over your mind and mulling over in your mind. And he's saying, my eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. And so what's the night watches? Night watches, many times, if you look back in those times, they were different times that people would be checked upon. Sometimes, you know, certain times of night, certain different areas, certain different watches. David many times didn't have to be told what time it was or the watches. He was up. And what's he doing? He's using his time to meditate on God's word. Oh, that we would use our time wisely. How often do we stay up late to watch TV or get up early to participate in some type of activity? But how often are we so hopeful in what God's word says that I could get a hold of God that I would say, I'm not going to sleep my full 8 hours. I'm going to spend some time with him extra. And don't get me wrong, I am a big proponent of sleep. I like sleep. I sleep too much in my mind. And I like to get up early. I like to do all those things. But I'm just saying that there was something that was more important to him than sleep. And that was getting hold of God. And I'm not saying that you can't sleep and pray, obviously, in two different things, two different times, but he had got to a spot in a moment that he believed and he meditated on the goodness of God. He thought about the goodness of God and he praised God so much that all he could do was praise him. And he thought about how God could help his nation or maybe how God could help his family or God could help a need. And that meditation on the word of God always goes into prayer and always goes into praise. And you begin praying. Why is that? Because you have hoped in his word. The more you know and understand God, the more you love him, the more you understand about him, the more he's going to cause you to pray. He hoped in his word. He cried unto him. We allow vain thoughts to occupy parts of our mind. Why can we not allow the greatness of God and the hope of his salvation and what he's been able to do in our lives and what he can do in our lives be something that we meditate on and consider on like his word says? Blessed is the man that does what? And the Bible says that he's going to meditate in the word in day and night. That's the man that's going to be constantly praying, the communion with God. If we truly would say, I believe and I hope in God's word that my prayers make a difference, how much more often would we pray? If we really truly believe that if I pray that God's going to hear and answer my prayers, what's that extra hour of sleep worth? If it can make a difference for eternity? Let's look at verse 149. Once again, he says, hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. So here he says to him, I want you to hear my voice, but I want it to be based off your loving kindness. He's reminded that he is nothing. He's reminded that he does not deserve this. He's reminded that God does not owe him a debt, that God does not have to do something on the merit of his past actions. God deserves all that already. He pleads upon God's grace, and he says, God, based off your loving kindness, I want you to hear me. It's not because I killed Goliath that I deserve to be in your presence. He says, because of how loving and kind you are. The loving kindness of God overlooks all our imperfections of our prayers. He forgets the sinfulness of the offerer as we confess. He pities and grants us with love, even though we are so unworthy. And we come to him and we say, God, I'm not demanding time in your presence. God, I just want you to hear me because I know you're God. I know you love me. And God, not based off of all the things I've done in the past, not based off any of those things, off your loving kindness, off your grace, off your mercy, will you just hear me? And once again, you see where what he's asking for. Earlier he said, save me. Then he says, hear me. Now he says, quicken me. He wants to be made alive. He wants to be renewed. He wants to be revived. Not according to his feelings, but according to God's judgments. He doesn't want to be revived based off, let's get it pumped up and let's get our emotions flowing, because that only lasts for a short period of time. It only really pleases the flesh. Instead, he says, revive me according to thy judgment. See, he had made a decision at the beginning of the chapter. I saw what God was doing. I saw how God worked. And he's saying, I want you to quicken me. Our hope is not in man, but it's based off the loving kindness of God. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. We're fully aware of our unworthiness and our imperfections. We plead to God that he will hear and answer our prayers just because of who he is. He's loving and he is kind. And I know he's made his promises in his word, but we're not worthy of that. I know he tells us to boldly come into his presence, but the only reason why we can come boldly into his presence is because he is loving and kind and able to hear and willing to hear us. So I'm encouraging tonight, ask God, speak in a way that you believe God is hearing you. Speak in a way that you have faith that God wants to line up, get you to line up with what he wants for your life. So that way, he can hear and answer your prayers. Quicken me according to thy judgment. That's what he pleaded for. Your next verse is, what happened? So what happens? I know we're getting close to it, the end there. It says, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. So it's a guy who's loving the Lord. He's crying out to the Lord morning, evening, midnight. He's hoping in God's word. He's doing everything he can. And what happens? Some people don't like it. If you live for God, there are going to be people in this world that don't like you. The Bible even says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. David prays about those that are trying to harm him. To me, it is a comfort to know that we can go to God when someone's hurting us. It's truly a comfort to know and remember that they hated God first and that God has enemies. And if we're going to be a children of God that looks and act like a children of God, that we will face enemies in this world too. There will be those out there who want to hurt us. There'll be those out there who hate us. There will be those out there who will want to follow after us as we follow after the Lord. The Christian's life is a blessed life, but it does say if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow after him, which is not a pretty picture. And so this is what happens. He draws nigh and there's people that are trying to hurt him. There are going to be people in your life that try to hurt you. Even after seeking after him, even after praying after him, and it's going to be people sometimes outside, sometimes it's the people inside. Sometimes it's outside your church family and some people that are super, super anti-God, and sometimes it's somebody in your church that maybe the devil's using just to attack you. Sometimes it's people outside your regular family, sometimes it's inside your family. It's the enemies the things that God is trying to do in your heart and life. And that's what David says. And I love the next verse. He says, thou art near. The psalmist realizes that there are people that are getting close to him. They're getting ready to try to hurt him. They're getting ready to try to take him out. But he says, there's something that's amazing. You're right there with me. I love that. It's probably my favorite part of this portion. And David did have people that were after him. Absalom was after him. Saul was after him. Other people, different times in his life. The guy who threw the rocks were after him. You know, all those different people. And it comes to this moment in this time, and he says, even though they were coming after me, they were near me, they were getting close to me, you were closer. What a wonderful thought. Even though they were coming to harm me, you were closer. I think about that story. I think it was Elisha and his servant. They were there, and the servant wakes up, and he sees all the way around them. There's people that are coming to capture Elisha and take him away. And Elisha prays a prayer and says, open his eyes, and open the servant's eyes, and there was chariots of fire all in front of the people that were coming to hurt him. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful picture. They were coming to hurt me, and God, you were right there. And sometimes, obviously, we've seen martyrs. Obviously, we've seen people hurt. We obviously see people. But the comfort of knowing that God is near is your next thing in verse 151. The comfort of knowing that God is near. Our spiritual enemies, like David's earthly persecutors, are ever present and active. The devouring lion, the insinuating serpent, is there and follows after us with mischief on his mind. He's incredibly dangerous. You never know what's going to be around the next corner, but that you know that there's someone who's going there with you. But thou art near, O Lord. And then he continues on, and he says, and all thy commandments are truth. All thy commandments are truth. Verse 150, there are people who do not follow God's law, and they get turned around, they do wrong things. They try to hurt people they shouldn't be trying to hurt. Verse 151, Lord, you're near me, and I know that if you're near me, truth is always going to happen. It might not always work out the way we think it should, but truth, he's always going to do what's right. We looked at about the goodness of God last week. He's always right. He is always righteous. He is always going to do what is right for us and part of his plan. David is comforted in this troubling time because of the fact he's not trusting in his own wisdom. He's not trusting in his own strength. He's trusting in the promises of God's word, and that he says, I am near to you. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is nearer to you than your own breath as it leaves your body. And I think it's beautiful with David saying, I know I got people that don't like me. I know that people that are trying to harm me, but you're near me, Lord. And then he takes a snapshot at the end in verse 152, how David looks at the whole picture. He says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. He says, I know I can trust in your word. He says, they've been founded there forever. I saw the benefits at the beginning of this chapter. I knew what I wanted. I want to be a man after God's own heart. David is praising God here, saying, I can trust in you. Even though people are attacking me, as I cry out to you, I want to serve you with my whole heart. I want you to hear me. I want you to save me. I want you to revive me or quicken me, whatever the word's there. And the reality is, do we hope in his word? If you go back at the beginning of the chapter in Psalms 119, and the first few verses is what we started with. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his statutes and they that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And he sees what happens in verses 1 and 2. He sees that it's the blessed life. It's the good life. And he comes to the spot and he says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. He says, that's what I want. I see what it looks like to live the blessed life. That's what I desire. And we don't know if he wrote this as a young man. We don't know if he wrote this as an old man. Some people think that his Psalms was something he wrote throughout his whole entire life. And as he got older, he come to like something in verses 145 to 152. And he says something like, hey, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. He says, way back when I saw them and I believed in them, I trusted in them. And now as I'm older, I know that they're real. And I think we can say that in our lives when we have set aside to serve the Lord, he's always been good to us. When we have sought after him, when we have prayed like this psalmist is praying with our whole heart, continually believing and trusting in the Lord, he answers our prayers. So I sit there and I read this section, and I wonder some questions here. Number one, am I crying out to God? I mean, is there a passion in my prayer? Once again, nothing wrong with the model prayer. There's something wrong with just saying it to just be heard. And am I doing it with my whole heart? Because if my heart is not speaking, I don't believe God's listening. If there's something else that's got my heart, why would he listen? And the next thing is, am I really believe God's word? He says, I hoped in thy word. That's what kept him getting up early. He didn't lose sleep because of the fact that he wanted to check it off on a box. He said, it's worth getting up early because I believe that God can do something with this prayer. I believe God can change me and make me more like him if I'll spend time with him. Why in the world would he get up early? Why in the world would that guy get up at 4:30? God hears him at 6 o'clock. He knew that during that undisturbed time that could make a difference in his life. And he believed it could make a difference in his teens' lives. They weren't there praying, no, but he believed that he could make a difference by God making a difference in his life, could make a difference in a teen's life. And he said, you know what? It's worth getting up at 4:30. It's worth staying up late. It's worth rising up at midnight to praise the Lord. Obviously, does that happen every single day? It doesn't. Should it happen every single day? I think you should be consistently letting the Lord lead you and guide you. But if you truly believe that prayer makes a difference, you're not going to say, well, why are you getting up early? It's because you already know why they're getting up early. They think it makes a difference. And they're going to trust in the Lord. They're going to hope in his word. They're going to let the word of God, the meditations, stop them from, instead of sitting there worrying at nighttime on the bed, instead of worrying about what the next day is or thinking about something that's vain or worthless, they're letting God occupy their mind. And that's when he says, I'm crying out to you because I hope in your word. At nighttime, I'm meditating on your word. And so I want to encourage you tonight and ask yourself this question. Does my prayer life look like I believe God's word? Does my prayer life look like I believe God's word? Because this prayer life, the crying out with the whole heart throughout the entire day, it looks like it's a man who says, I believe praying makes a difference. And because I believe praying makes a difference, I don't care what time it is. It's worth getting up. I think most of us, if it could make a difference in someone else's life, we wouldn't mind getting up an hour early to go help somebody that needed it. Across this room, there's people here who give of themselves to people all the time. They sacrifice to go help a widow lady or help a child or help at a church. And I think that's great. That's biblical. That's wonderful. God will bless that because you see that you're making a difference. The psalmist, he's saying, I'm getting up and I'm praying because I believe it makes a difference. I'm not just talking the talk. I'm talking because I'm asking God to hear my prayer. I'm asking him to come close, be near me, and listen to me like I would expect the doctor to listen to me. And then the doctor to say, hey, this is what you need to do. Like a friend who I'm looking for counsel to. And once again, he's more than a doctor. He's more than any friend. But that's how I'm talking to him. I want and need his help. And I believe his will can be done if he will just hear me. And I will speak to him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight that you help our prayer lives. Lord, I confess that I don't pray like I should or like I could or like I need to. And Lord, I think many of us could say that tonight. So we see the confidence that David has in your word, the prayers he was given about, the promises given about prayer. He believed it,
And Lord, help us to believe that prayer makes a difference. And why wouldn't we pray more if we believed it made a difference? Why wouldn't we seek you more if we really thought it could make a difference? Lord, increase our faith. Teach us to pray. Lord, help us to see that you are truthful when it comes to your promises. Help us to grab a hold of those promises. Help us to grab a hold of you. Help us to seek your face. Help us to, whether it's getting up early, staying up late, or both, and saying, this is making a difference because your word says it will. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to believe that your word, help us have hope in your word and the promises that are found concerning prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.